You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rendezvous with the Writer, where readers and writers meet, and story is everything. We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've just been listening to Hot Texas for the Hot Texas Swing Band. Our friend,
Alex Dormont. Yes. Yeah. Welcome to episode 160. We are so delighted that you are with us tonight. Whether you are with us live or you catch this later on LA Talk Radio Facebook page, Rendezvous with the Writer Facebook page, LA Talk Radio website, or YouTube, we're just delighted that you're with us. Hey, Jim, where are we broadcasting from tonight?
We're in a different place tonight. We're live from the Galaxy's Edge Bar on the space station Norma. We're about a light year away from the center of today's universe, which is Mars. Now, as you all know, 300 years ago, this great big meteor hit the Earth and blew it up. Now, that's the real Big Bang Theory.
And joining us tonight for this special broadcast is Henry C. Park, who is with us always the first Thursday of the month. And Richard Polinelli, the author of the book that we'll be speaking about tonight, which I already held up to the camera, of all the gin joints in the universe. Welcome, Henry and Richard.
That has to be the greatest intro to any podcast I've ever been a guest on, right there, Jim. I love it.
That was terrific.
Yes, it was. Well done. Very well done.
It is so fun to have you both with us. Jim and I were saying all week as we prepared for tonight, it's like old home week. It's old home week. So, Henry, where are you joining us from tonight?
I'm surprising you and coming from Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn, New York. Exactly.
Henry is the author of The Greatest Westerns Ever Made and the People Who Made Them. And he's also the editor for Western Film for True West Magazine. And he is with us the first Thursday of every month. We're always delighted to have you join us. And from out of the space and out of the world is featured guest,
Richard Polinelli.
Yeah, I'm hiding out in the frozen tundra of North Dakota. We're getting ready for our first snowfall of the end of the year here in the next couple of
weeks. I was going to ask if you had snow yet. So
now you guys probably have another month or two before you have to worry about it. But we're in that zone now where we got to start thinking about it. So.
Wow. Well, for our listeners and watchers who may not know, when we talk about old home, we all got to know each other because for many, many years, we were involved with the writer's block. And I always have this mug with me for every one of our shows. And Richard and Henry, again, delighted to have you with us. It is like old home week because we were together for so many years in this same time slot on LA Talk Radio. And Richard, is there anything you'd like to comment about that sweet time we had together?
You know, you and I were talking earlier this week, and there are times on Thursdays, and especially today, where I will catch myself at about the time that I would be starting to get ready. Because the routine for me was to drive over to Jim's house because we lived in the same town. And then he and I would drive in to the studio and we kind of talk about what we were going to be doing. And, all the shows we did, all the crazy things that happened on the show, behind the scenes, out in the waiting areas, You know, some of the guests that would come out of the other studio while they were broadcasting their show. So, you know, there are times when I think back on that, and you know, you miss those days. But you know, things happen. And you have to make changes and whatnot. But yeah, I have a lot of great memories attached to Thursday night at this time.
Yeah. And Henry, you were along for the ride for almost from the beginning, the first Thursday of every month, I think. Do you have any favorite memory or anything you'd like to share about this special broadcast we all did together?
Oh, just it was always so much fun. And of course, Jim Christina was such a fun guy and so good on his feet. He could react so beautifully. I really admired that about him. As always.
Yeah.
You know, remind me, well, we were going to talk about this, bring it up a couple minutes later, but this is fine. We had a lot of goings on there in that studio, and there were other radio podcasts going on at the same time. And the only one I remember for sure that I thought was kind of interesting was we had Amber Lynn, porn actress, right next to us.
Yes.
And people that would come in, she interviewed a lot of people. And the people that would come in, well, some of them were a little strange. Maybe the
some? Thing was how they were. Some?
Some of them were normal.
Few.
You know,
very few. Paranormal. Very few. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, I was telling Bobby there was, they would come, some of the people would walk out and they, you know, they were from the 70s when they were at their height. Right. And they were still dressing like they were in the 70s, and they shouldn't be out dressed like that anymore. So, yeah, you would, I mean, there was some crazy stuff that would walk out of that studio sometimes, but, you know, Jim and I would catch ourselves, if we ever had video like we do now, some of the facial expressions on us would have been gold, because we'd be like talking, we're like that.
Window, right?
Yeah. You know, you'd struggle to keep your show going because you're trying not to react to what you're seeing out the window. So yeah, some strange.
Yeah. I think you guys got a couple pictures with her, didn't you?
Oh, I think so.
I think so, yeah.
They were on the wall. You know, that was that wonderful wall that Sam, who's, I'm sure, listening to our memories, you know, that was that great wall with lots of photos of people who had been hosts or hosts with guests. It was always fun. It was fun to be live in the studio. And this is as close as we can get to being live in the studio. At least these days we can see each other, so we can't cut each other off, you know, like could happen on Skype or whatever. We can, you know, it's like being in the studio.
I think
we just want to give. Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say my favorite memory of all time of the show was, you know, we used to open the show and we would tell the guests, we're going to open with a couple of on-air commercials. So you're on, so don't say anything until we, you know, come to you. And I'm in the middle of mine. Jim would do the first one. I'm doing the second one. Right in the middle of it, I can't remember the name of the guest. Apparently somebody at his house yelled out to see where he was. And he's like, you know, as loud as he could, "I'm on the radio," which comes across. And it just, I mean, I somehow got the rest of the ad out. But by the time I'm done with it, I am laughing so hard that I just kind of just threw the page up in the air, and Jim goes, "And that's it for Richard for the night." You know? So just, you know, with live radio.
I sort of remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that. And you know, we would take phone calls. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. I don't remember, Richard, if you were on, but there was a time that we took a phone call and it was the caller was trying to find out when her husband was going to be deployed.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
We're like, hello?
I remember Jimmy.
Calling to order pizza, you know? I was waiting for that one.
I remember so often Jim would cut him right off. You know, he didn't want to cut him off.
Yep.
Well, it's just fabulous having you all with us. And of course, that show was just so special. And Jerry Christina is a lot of the reason why. He was behind the scenes, the bookie, keeping in touch with all the guests, getting the PDFs to us. I never knew what I was going to read for next week. I got off the air Thursday night, and there was an email with the book for the next week. She kept it all just running so smoothly. And so I don't know, Jerry, if you're listening, know that when we think of the writer's block, it's the team of Jim and you that partly made this so very, very special. So
yeah, without the booking, we wouldn't have had a show. So yeah, big shout out to Jerry tonight.
Right. Yeah. So, Henry, let's go ahead and get you started. Henry always delivers what's happening in Western film and TV. Take it away, Henry.
Thank you. Well, you know, at True West Magazine, every January, we have our Best of the West issue. And this Wednesday morning, I turned in my article about the year's Western movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. The movie business is changing so quickly. In 2024, we had just two Westerns in theaters, Costner's Horizon Chapter 1 and The Thicket. This year, how many? Zero. Zero Westerns in theaters. Depending on how strict you are in your definition, there are between 35 and 40 new Westerns this year. And aside from one-week runs for Oscar eligibility, they went straight to streaming. And the irony is, no genre of movie benefits more from a big screen than a Western. I was just in North Dakota, like someone who is right now, for the season 2 premiere of Elkhorn, the INSP series about Teddy Roosevelt's early years. And to see that beautiful image on a theater screen was a revelation. But instead, people are watching Westerns on their phones. So I am delighted to tell you that tomorrow, Friday, November 7th, a brand spanking new Western, Long Shadows, will open in 77 theaters in 50 cities across the country.
Mm.
It's all over California, New York, all over Texas, Tennessee, South Carolina, Arizona, Oklahoma, Kansas, you name it. Its writer-director is William Shockley. This is his first time directing a feature, but he's co-written a bunch of Westerns, and you'll sure know his face if you watch Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, because he played Hank Lawson, the long-haired, handsome, but kind of snide bartender. I'm posting a new Henry's Western Roundup tomorrow with my interview with William Shockley, and I'm just trying to cut it down to a reasonable length. I don't want it to take longer to read than it does to see the movie. But the story is about a boy who saw his parents murdered. He grows up, and with no life experience outside of an orphanage, he goes to track the killers down. And this is not just a revenge story, believe me. This movie takes you places where you don't expect to go. Reluctantly taking the young man under his wing is retired gunfighter Dermot Mulroney from Young Guns and many others. The lovely Jacqueline Bisset runs a house of ill fame and is a master manipulator of what goes on. Very interesting, very unusual.
Do you have more, Henry? Did we just lose you for a moment?
Yep.
I don't know. Can you hear me? I see me.
We just lost you for a moment. You mentioned Jacqueline Bisset, and then you had like another sentence, and then I think we lost you for just a moment.
Okay. Jacqueline Bisset is in that. It's an interesting picture. And coming for a limited theatrical release in December is Eastern Western, directed by sisters Biljana and Miriam Rozdanova. They were born in Bulgaria, and they wanted to tell the story about coming to America from Eastern Europe. Their film is about a widower from Bosnia and Herzegovina trying to raise his young son. It's shot mostly in Montana and a little bit in Bosnia. It's very naturalistic. The cast is all non-actors, and the plot was worked out as they went along, but it's very good. Coming December 5th is Frontier Crucible, from the producer of Bone Tomahawk, Dallas Saunier, and the director who made 12 Westerns in 12 months, Travis Mills. It's a very exciting film that's reminiscent of the suspenseful Bud Bedeker, Randolph Scott films. Newcomer Miles Clohessy is a former soldier who knows his way through Apache country. He's on his way to deliver desperately needed medical supplies to a town when he comes upon the survivors of an Apache attack, including a beautiful woman, Mary Strickley, her wounded husband, and men that he can't just abandon but doesn't trust either. It's a really interesting cast mix with the talented newcomers, plus stars like William H. Macy, Thomas Jane is a villain instead of a hero, and it features the screen return of Armie Hammer. It's really tough, old-school, heroic type stuff. And I don't know an exact release date, but there's a new Western from the great cult pock-runk Western filmmaker Alex Cox, who brought you Repo Man, Straight to Hell, and Tombstone Rashomon. This one is called Dead Souls, and he stars as well as directs as a mysterious Mr. Strindler, who travels from town to town buying the names of dead Mexicans. He co-wrote it with the great spaghetti Western star Gianni Garco, who starred in films like If You Meet Sartana, Pray for Your Death. He was actually going to star, but he's 90, and it's a lot to ask of him at this point. It's a really enjoyable, quirky Western shot at the Mezcal Movie Ranch near Tucson and on the For a Few Dollars More Street in Spain. You know, I always ask people, what's your next project? And when I asked Alex Cox, he said, my next project is I have to make 750 DVDs and Blu-rays, sign them, and mail them out to Kickstarter backers before Christmas. It's at least the third movie he's financed through Kickstarter, which I find amazing. And please check out the November True West with my article,
Val Kilmer.
Article on Val Kilmer, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's right. In his about the making of Tombstone, from the point of view of costume designer Joseph Porro, who really deserved an Oscar for that one. And you can read all about this and so much more at Henry's Western Roundup.
Let's ask a question.
Well, okay.
Can we?
Well, I'm looking at time. Sure. Go ahead. Ask a question.
You know, Henry, it seems like more and more Westerns being made out of this country. In Europe, I think they're made in the Far East. Mm-hmm. It seems like a lot of people are jumping on Westerns. I know they may not be big blockbuster release type things, but it seems like a lot of this filming is going on all over the world.
Yeah, it absolutely is. In fact, that's Alex Cox was telling me the reason that he didn't shoot his whole film, Dead Souls, in Spain was that at the same time that he was trying to book space in the Spanish Western towns that they have, there was a Dutch, a German, and a French Western all shooting there. So, it is funny. Whatever country it is, they usually end up either here or in Spain. But there are a lot of different countries producing them. But I'm glad the Bulgarian girls came here, which is where they live. They live in Brooklyn, I should mention.
Yeah, do they? Your hometown.
I got neighbors in the industry all over the place.
Well, Henry, thank you so much for delivering the latest news. We are going to take a very quick step away to take a word from our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. If you're a writer, listen closely. And when we come back, we will be in outer space with our featured guest, Richard Polinelli. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Authors, welcome home. Every author needs a website, a home base for their brand. Professionally showcase your books and brand with a custom website landing page starting at $369. Bluebookshelf.com. It's a great feeling to be home. Contact the Blue Cottage team today to get started.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with a Writer. And we're talking with Henry C. Park, and we're talking about Richard Polinelli. We're going to go out in outer space, aren't we?
We're in outer space, with Richard. Always outer space. Why don't you go ahead? We're going to kind of get to know Richard in this little short segment. Would you go ahead and give us a little of his bio?
Well, his bio. I think we got it here someplace. Tonight's featured guest, Richard Polinelli, began his writing journey as a freelance writer in 1984 and gained his first fiction credit serving as the head writer for the first two issues of Elite Comics sci-fi fantasy series Sea Dragon. After nearly a quarter of a century in the newspaper field, Richard retired as award-winning sports writer and returned to his fiction writing roots. Since then, he has written several award-winning novels, two nonfiction sports books, and has appeared in dozens of anthologies. He served as a co-host on LA's Talk Radio Writers Block from 2016 to 2022, and is a co-founding publisher of Tuscany Books. And as we talked before, he resides in the frozen tundra of North Dakota.
Welcome, Richard. For fun, I'm just going to hold up a couple other books because I remember them well. We had Pluto.
Yeah.
And I think an anthology, right?
Yeah, that was part of the Planetary Anthology series. There was 11 books, and we unfortunately discontinued publishing those about 2 months ago. So
I'll hold on to this because
it's a collector's item now. Yeah.
One of the books that just blew me away when we first met, Escaping Infinity. I love this book. Do you want to just make a comment quickly about it?
Yeah, it's very similar to the book that we're going to talk about a little bit later, in that it was one where it kind of sprang from a basic idea that got a little bit of a kickstart from an outside source and just took off. And for whatever reason, those kind of stories, I just have a lot of fun writing, and I think it carries over. And I think that's why Escaping Infinity did so well. And I think that's why people are reacting to latest book so well. It's, you can tell the writer was really having fun when he wrote it, and I can confirm that because I did it. And then there's that one.
And then this is one, of course, that you did with Jim Christina.
Yep.
The Last Lonely Trail. You want to talk a little bit about this and maybe about Tuscany Bay Books?
Well, that was our shortly after I first started doing the guest co-hosting. We were driving into the studio one night, and we got to talking about, I wanted to write a Western, but you know, it wasn't really something I was familiar with because I was mostly sci-fi and mysteries. And so I kind of was telling Jim about what I had in mind, and we decided, why not just write it together. We would, you know, alternate a chapter or two, and then send it over, and whoever it was would take over and write a chapter or two and send it back. And that became The Last Lonely Trail. And during that process, as we're writing that book, we got to talking, and Jim, one night out of the blue on what was that freeway? The 118, the Simi Valley Freeway? Yeah. We're driving along, mm-hmm. and he goes, so you know what? You've got Tuscany Bay Publishing. He said, I've got Black Dog Publishing. Why don't we combine them, make it a single entity, and let's see if we can start, you know, publishing other people's stuff. So that's where Tuscany Bay Books was born. I've got the update over there. That's the newer logo that I updated a couple of years ago. The original one's around here somewhere, but you know, we just kind of went with that. It kind of grew. You know, it's something I've kept going since Jim passed in 2022, and you know, as long as the lights are still on, I must be doing something right. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Well, Henry, do you have any questions or comments for Richard?
Well, I didn't know if I should be jumping into the plot of all the gin joints without an introduction. You know what I actually, because this is a little more without digging in, the great hard-boiled writers Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler, I know, were big influences on you, mm-hmm. As well they should be on all people. Now, and it struck me that the big difference between them to me was that Hammett always wrote in third person, observing everything. Yeah. And Chandler always wrote in first person, and you know, Philip Marlowe was right in the story. Right. So I was wondering, because I noticed that you named him after Hammett's character, but you're writing in first person. I was just wondering why you decided to write in first versus third. What would you prefer?
It just kind of naturally, as I was laying it out, and we'll get into the crazy insanity of creating this thing in the first place. But growing up, I watched all the films, the Maltese Falcon, The Big Sleep. You know, that whole era of Hollywood films, for whatever reason, really I was drawn to at an early age. And I've read some of the, you know, you mentioned Chandler and Hammett. So when I decided that I wanted to write that style of a detective story, but I wanted to set it in space in the future. So I'm trying to mix these two styles. And when I sat down to write it, you kind of have to make that decision. Are you going to go first, right. Or you go third? And it just struck me that it would lend to that whole detective noir feel if I kept it that first person. It's always from Sam's point of view. It's what he sees. Mm-hmm. It's what he hears. It just seemed to me that was the best way to tell this story. And it also gave me a chance to be a little bit more smart alecky when I wanted to be too, you know, because Sam's just kind of, you know, he's just kind of freewheeling it. And like, okay, I see this and this is what I think about it. First person, you can do that. Third person, you know, it's harder to do it and not have people wonder, well, who's talking here? Whose point of view are we at here? If I kept it first person, you didn't have to worry about that. You knew it was always Sam.
We're going to take a quick break because we definitely want to continue this conversation in greater detail. And of course, we're talking about Richard's book, except I'm holding up Henry's because we're going to tell you where you can find these books, The Greatest Westerns Ever Made and the People Who Made Them. And of all
the joints in the universe.
And you can find these books along with many of the books of our featured guests on our affiliate page, Out West Shop affiliate page at bookshop.org. We're going to take a listen to that and we'll be right back. And you do not want to go away. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com. Find books and CDs on the menu. Choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer. Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
Welcome back. Rendezvous with a Writer. We're talking with Henry C. Park, and we're talking with Richard Palinelli. And we're particularly talking right now of all 10 joints in the universe. How did you decide to put a old-time detective sleuth in a sci-fi setting?
Well, that kind of came from, like I mentioned earlier, you know, just all that detective noir genre that I had watched as a kid. I always wanted to write that, but I, to be honest with you, I think it's been written. Everybody, you know, that all the great writers have done it. There's no way I can come in and even hope to compete with that. And being a sci-fi novelist primarily, I just figured, you know, it might be a great way to do it, but set it in the future, set it in space, have him kind of be that 1940s detective style person, you know, off in the high-tech world that he's going to be in the future. So it was just, I just wanted to do it, never really figured out how I wanted to do it. So it was one of those projects that sits in a file folder on the computer and kind of stews back in the back of the brain for a while. And, you know, there was a, I don't know if you want to get into this part of it, but there was a conversation I was having with another author online. She's a relatively new author. Her name is Natasha Carter. And if you've read you're like, hey, wait a minute. That's the name of the lead female character. And I'll explain how that happened. But she, She is a relatively new author. Met her a couple of years ago on Twitter, and read her first book and helped her promote it. And she's got her fourth book coming out next month, if I remember right. But she's a great author, and she likes to do these posts every once in a while where she'll just throw a random thought out just to see what happens. Watch the ripples, you know? So if you go into your conversations with her knowing that, you are going to be okay, and you can kind of have fun with it too. But the one that she did was, "I'm only here to steal your soul." Okay. So I, wow, being the smart aleck that I am, go, with some women, it's worth the price. And that, whatever reason, clicked and hit the two correct brain cells together. And I just immediately thought, that's a great way to introduce the femme fatale in this book I'm trying to write. So I'm going to jot this down before I forget it. So I jot it down. And then I'm like, okay, so you've got that. And now I think I kind of know how I want her to, the reason why she's meeting Sam. Okay, we'll write that out. So that just kind of starts this never-ending sequence where all of a sudden I'm at the end of a short story, got it outlined. I'm thinking, okay, I'll just write this, get it over with, get it out of my head. It's done. I can put it. I've got a series of short stories that I call Dreams as a Storyteller. I'm going to add it to that and move on. But as I'm looking at this, I go, that's a great place to end the first one. But if you keep going, you could do this, 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 this. Okay, that's cool. There's a second one. But if you keep going, you got this, 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 this. And now I've got three. And before I knew it, I had six short stories outlined at 10,000 words each. I've got a novel. So I'm like, fine, it's a book. Now it's a book. Mm-hmm. I'll make it a full-fledged novel. And I figured I'm just going to write it and get it, you know, just get it done. But as I'm, you know, naming the characters, coming up with the places and everything, I can't come up with the name for the lead female, no matter what I do. So I finally hop on. I reach out to Natasha, and that is her pen name, by the way, if anybody wants to know. So I email her and I go, look, I know it's your pen name, but since this is partially your fault that I'm writing this thing, would you mind if I use your name as the character's name? And she said yes. And I just started writing it. And it just, you know, I think I mentioned this earlier. The last time I had as much fun writing a book was Escaping Infinity, you know, and the books I've written since then, you know, I'm proud of them. I gave them everything I had in them. I'm happy with the way it turned out, but for whatever reason, these two books were the ones that they were just joy to write. It wasn't work at any time, even the editing part of it. It was just pure joy.
Yeah.
That's how this insanity came to be. It's Natasha, her big mouth.
We think it's a great story. Yeah. You know, and I thought, as you were talking, did you have a beginning and ending in mind, or did you just kind of build the story as you went along? Because I guess you said you had several short stories.
Yeah.
So you just kind of really just put them together, and that was kind of how you got the storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, the original ending is probably, when you get to the end of part one, that's the end of the first short story. Mm-hmm. I fleshed it out a little bit to make it a little bit longer. But when I decided it was going to be six, I had the basic concepts down. But there was a lot of things that were adjusted as I went. And that's, you know, just the way that it works. The epilogue, there's a sequence of events that I hadn't planned on putting in until I got to, there's a scene with a gentleman who's traveling through the space station and checks out the services at Mama Cat's. We'll leave it at that. But it was writing that, and I got that done, and that's when the idea hit. Well, why not toward the end, after all the dust settles, why don't we just bring this character back? How do you do that? And that whole gag, for want of a better word, is how that came to be. So that was not in it until, you know, I'd already gotten started. It just kind of came in there. So there's, and then you're constantly adjusting as you're writing. you know, you, I think this will work. You write it, you know, that's not going to work. You pull something else in. So, I mean, I basically have a general idea where I want to start, which was Sam at the bar. The general ending I had in mind, which was, you know, Sam cracks the case, basically. And then the rest you just kind of fill in and improve and adjust and edit, and hopefully you get it right.
Yeah.
That's about a question, a character.
Well, let's have, Henry, do you, Henry, I'm sure you have a comment or something you'd love to throw in there.
Well, yeah, I was, one of the really interesting things that you did in the book is you're writing, you know, we're used to things like, say, Ragtime. I just saw that on Broadway, where it was kind of groundbreaking because it was based on a novel where they had real historical characters interacting within fictional characters. Mm-hmm. Now, you've sort of taken that into the future because you have a major character who may sometime exist, but in the future. But, you know, someone with trackable DNA, let us say, who is interacting with your fictional character. How did you even come up with the idea of doing that?
Well, it kind of came. I mean, do we just blab who it is we're talking
about
here?
There is
a character in the book who may or may not be Elon Musk. And the reason why that played out was early in the book, I mentioned that it was one of Elon Musk's grandkids or great grandkids that came up with, can't remember what it was. But anyway, it was a brief mention, just get him mentioned in there. So to establish the fact that the Musk family continues doing things. But as I was writing it, I thought, okay, it's the Musk grandkids doing it. But if you really want to have fun, and this came along midway through, is why not start implying that maybe Elon Musk is a great grandson, or maybe Elon Musk is just Elon who's figured out how to stay alive 400 years into the future. So I don't think in the book I ever come out and say yes or no. I'm going to let the reader decide.
It's a teaser.
I'll let you come up with the theory and prove the theory, your theory on why it is or is not. So it's kind of implied. But I mean, if anybody could figure that out, I would probably put my money on Elon Musk to do it. So that just kind of worked its way in. And, you know, the reason why I picked Elon was some things we're going to talk about later is the ICOMs, the Halo device. These were all things that were created by Elon Musk. And the reason why I went that way is we have the Neuralink that's out now, where you have something implanted in somebody's head interacting with a computer. And my thought was, at what point do we get worried that that could be used for ill purposes, which is what kind of drove the creation of the Halo device in my story. It's kind of a, hey, you know, maybe we should be looking a little closer at this kind of technology. And then the Halo is there to be shown why we should, because it can be misused and how, you know. Wow. So it's just kind of a cautionary tale I threw into the mix.
You think he's going to get a phone call from a guy by the name of Elon?
Yeah.
I said, here's my thought on this.
He's going to call him and say, let's make a movie. Let's make a movie.
You know, yeah, I could see Elon, if he reads the book, he'll either really love it or he'll really hate it.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see.
But you'll find out because he'll send the brainwaves right to you. He won't
call.
There
you go. Yeah. He'll land Starship right on my house is what he'll do if he doesn't like it.
We're going to take one last little break. There's still so much to talk about, and I'm trying to keep my eye on time. And so here's a word from another of our sponsors, and that's our business, OutWestShop.com. Go away. Lots more when we come back.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
Welcome back to Rendezvous with the Writer. We're talking with Henry C. Park and Richard Polinelli, particularly Richard's book, you know, of all the gin joints in the universe. A quick question, Richard. With all these interesting characters, did any of them ever surprise you?
You know, probably one of Mama Cat's ladies.
Okay.
Veronica would be the one that probably surprises me. I didn't really plan on her becoming the character she became. You know, it was basically I needed to give this poor woman a name, you know, at the beginning of the story where she's involved. And it was supposed to be, okay, that's it. She's done. We've moved on from that. And for whatever reason, she just kind of hung around and pops back up at kind of a key moment in Sam's life where, you know, he's kind of rebounding from something. Trying to avoid spoilers, and it's very hard to do.
Exactly.
I never really expected Veronica to play the role she played eventually in the book. So, yeah, that one definitely.
We are in the year 2371. In the book, and that's not a spoiler alert. You tell us that. And when we think about, you know, going there in the future, you have two characters, and it's just fun because they're not. One is Jerry. They're not in the story a really long time, but we have Jerry, and we have Angel. Yeah. You want to just take a moment and just tell us who are Jerry and Angel?
Well, Jerry shows up on the cover. And you know, yes. Sam's on there, and you know that Natasha's on there. So guess who Jerry is? Yeah, Jerry. Jerry's the robot bartender. And then Angel is Sam's secretary. And that was kind of a nod to Sam Spade's secretary in The Maltese Falcon, because he always called her Angel. You know, he always heard Angel. And so I just kind of, I wanted to have him have a secretary, but not be a human secretary, just be the AI robot secretary. And it made it easier when he has to leave the station for her to be a robot instead of a real human being. And you know, again, we're getting in spoilers. So I can't say why, but yeah, I mean, it was just kind of, wherever I could without throwing everybody out of the story, I tried to weave in some of the elements from, you know, the Maltese Falcon, the Big Sleep. There's a little bit of Casablanca in there if you look hard enough. In fact, I think Sam kind of becomes Richard Blaine in this book before we get to the end. So, you know, it's just those little things that having watched the films and read the books, I just wanted to weave them in and just kind of add to the book itself.
Yeah. I think as readers, we found this a great romp, and that even though it's set in the future, we could totally follow it. What people wear hasn't changed a lot. They're flying to, you know, different spaces within the galaxy, but there's nothing, it feels very comfortable. I mean, it feels like we're not having to learn a new language. We're not having to learn where things are. You explain it and okay, we're going to fly here to there, to, you know. Yeah. And so the fact that he's in a fedora and a trench coat, we meet her in the typical sort of femme fatale dress, I think, to go in the future and yet still, you know, have things that just feel so comfortable for the reader. What do you think, Henry? Did you feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It really is a very, very nice, smooth mix of sci-fi and mystery. It's
Well, that was kind of what I was shooting for, and that's the reason why you don't have aliens in the book. Mm-hmm. I kept it where the human race is it, but that's all That's all we populated the galaxy, but we're the only ones out there.
Robots.
Yeah. Yeah. Us and robots, you know, but we have robots today. So it just, you know, I didn't want to go too sci-fi because I didn't want to lose that detective Moore feel. And that was a kind of a balancing act throughout the book. And I, from what I'm hearing from people, I managed to thread that needle. So I'll take that.
You know, just a quick comment about our protagonist, Sam. You know, he, in a way, he's a typical gumshoe. But in your story, he's a lot more intelligent than the average gumshoe.
Yeah.
Because he solves a lot of problems for the folks here near the end.
Yeah, he's just right on, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that because he used to work for Galactic Justice, and that is the, I guess, the FBI of the future. But they law enforcement for the entire galaxy, so you have to be able to be up on the tech and be able to fly a ship and be able to hack a computer, be able to operate the Halo device, which we really haven't got into too much. That's a complicated device to use, especially for what it's being used for. It's, you know, if a person is convicted of a crime, you're erasing their entire personality, history, and memories, and then implanting a completely new person into that body. So that's not something you just flip a switch and boom, it's done. You know, you've got to be able to operate that machinery and know what you're doing. And we kind of get into, you know, that process and then trying to undo that process. You know, it just, you can't just shoot a gun and drive a car and in the 24th century.
So listeners and watchers, I am looking at time. You have got to read this book. So Richard, very quickly, where can people find, follow you and pick up your book?
Well, you can follow me at richardpolinelli.com. The book is, we just opened a store at TuscanyBayBooks.com. You can click on the store. Mm-hmm. You can directly download the book. And it's actually at a discounted price for people who come directly to us. But you can also get it on Amazon. Right now, the print copies, you can only order through Amazon. But that is something coming for next year. We're hoping to have what we call pulp cover editions of all of our books. They'll be the pocket size books, the old, you know, about four and a quarter by 6 inch size. We're going to do all those books. This one will be probably one of the first ones we do with that style of cover too. So you'll be able to order those directly from us and only from us, but Amazon, TuscanyBayBooks.com, RichardPolinelli.com. That's how you find me.
Henry, where are we? Where can we find you, follow you, and get your book?
Well, of course you can get your book, my book, from you, which is the only place that one should. You know, if you're in a weird mood, you could call Amazon, but otherwise call Bobby and Jim. And you can get me at henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
We are almost out of time, but we do want Jim to have a moment to give a quote.
We have to read this quote. A woman walks into a bar. She wore a red dress that showed off all the right curves, yet remained surprisingly modest. Long flowing blonde hair framed a face that could have been chiseled onto any statue of a Greek or Roman goddess. It wasn't until she got nearer to my area of the bar that I saw her eyes. Sapphire blue pools a man could easily drown in. I briefly wondered how many souls she had collected along the way. I figured mine was probably going to be added to that number.
Thank you both for being with us tonight. What fun this was. Richard, will you come back next year? We need to set up a time with you.
That sounds like a plan to me. And if anybody wants to read the book, you got to fire up a long dart and pour yourself a couple of fingers.
Next week, we have two authors also joining us. Jeff Crawford is back. And he's coming along with Manuela Schneider, also coming back. They co-wrote a book together, Hope Carries a Flintlock. And Manuela just walked away with a whole bunch of film awards at the Wild Bunch Film Festival and the Will Rogers Medallion Awards. And she is prolific. We'll be also talking about her book, Tombstone Silver, and Restless Souls and Haunted Places. So come on back and see us next week. Do you have a final comment?
And as we always say, it's always a great day out west.
Keep writing. We'll keep
reading.
We'll see you down the trail. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.